morning, just so you know. It'll be the same plate when you come talk to us later. That's fine. U.S. citizen, former. You want to come at us? You want to come at us? I say go get yourself some lunch, big boy. Go ahead.
Out of the car. Get out of the car. Get out of the car.
Renee Nicole Good wasn't a lot of things, but she also wasn't someone that deserves to be used to further divide Americans by the desperation of a governor and a mayor drowning in an ongoing fraud investigation.
Our police, many of whom are Somali themselves, are trusted partners in keeping people safe. They will not collaborate with any federal agency around doing immigration enforcement work. They will not cooperate with ICE agents.
Minneapolis will continue to be a safe haven for undocumented immigrants.
In Minneapolis, we have your back. You will be protected and respected by our city employees, regardless of your immigration status.
I have a message for ICE. To ICE, get the f*** out of Minneapolis.
Minnesotans, don't take the bait. Do not take the bait. Do not allow them to deploy federal troops into here. Do not allow them to invoke the Insurrection Act. Do not allow them to declare martial law.
She also doesn't deserve to be used by the Mockingbird media as gasoline to be thrown on a fire.
As the vehicle passes, you can see the dark colored SUV driven by Renee Nicole Good. That's on the right there in the back. The surveillance video taken by a home nearby. Agents can be seen milling about near the vehicle, then converging on it. And then you see right there the SUV begins to move, and that's when the shots are fired.
There's not the slightest doubt in your mind, having viewed it, that the victim, you still believe that she deliberately tried to ram him despite seeing this video.
Look, I don't know what is in a person's heart or in a person's head, and obviously we're not going to get the chance to ask this woman what was going on. What I am certain of is that she violated the law. If people want to say that we should have a legitimate debate about, you know, what was she really doing, right? Was she panicking when she drove into this officer, or was she actually trying to ram him? That's a reasonable conversation. What's not reasonable is for so many of you to plaster all over the media that this was an innocent woman and that the ICE agent committed murder, which is what many of you have said explicitly and some of you have said implicitly.
She also wasn't at the wrong place at the wrong time. And she wasn't merely a legal observer. She was an anti-ICE radical and apparently knew exactly what she was doing.
They clearly wanted her out of there because she was the main car leading the protest, is my understanding. I talked to another guy who was driving behind her, but she was very successful in blocking traffic. She was doing what she was set out to do, and so they wanted to get her the hell out of there. Yeah.
So it looked like she was impeding ICE vehicles.
Definitely. Yeah, okay. That was her goal.
Did you guys know that she had enrolled her kid in a charter school in Minneapolis that was training parents to fight ICE? Because she absolutely did. The New York Post has an article out where they dug into this Southside Family Charter School a little bit. Apparently, this school is where Renee Good, who was fairly new to Minneapolis, was introduced to ICE protesting in the first place. Oddly enough, this school sounds way worse than a leering sitter. It was opened in 1972 to have an unabashed focus on social justice education. No, really, this is straight from their website. We integrate social justice into every grade level, telling the stories of the people, not the people in power, and helping students understand history and their role in making the world a better place. A gym teacher who retired last month said that current events like George Floyd were a regular part of the curriculum. This is for little kids. So the article goes on to say that it was through her involvement with the community at Southside Family Charter School that Renee Good got involved with Ice Watch, a group dedicated to disrupting ICE.
And clearly her wife knew as well.
You want to come at us? I say go get yourself some lunch, big boy. Go ahead.
So as the left continues down this path, it appears that Renee Good will only be the first of many. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
In my kitchen, I cook what's right. Simple traditions, pure delight. Optimal human beef tallow treats meals just right. Cook strong at high heat with a taste so bright. So get yourself to the Alex Jones store. Support the crew and the InfoWars.
Wake up, folks! Spread this message! The globalist machine is tightening the chains, and they're after your freedoms.
The Podesta plan is in operation.
Don't worry, it's safe and effective.
Don't you just love my GMO potatoes?
Ladies and gentlemen, the truth is unfolding before our very eyes. We must question everything.
Layers of the day's events to reveal the core truth. War Room with Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. Second hour is on. I'm very happy to welcome my guest, Peter Beistrin. He's a member of the European Parliament for Germany's Alternative for Germany, AfD party, and part of the Europe of Sovereign Nations group. Born in Czechoslovakia in 1972, he immigrated to Germany in 1987, and later became a German citizen. He served as AfD's Bavarian state chairman from 2015 to 2017 and was Bundestag member from 2017 until his election to the European Parliament in 2024. In the European Parliament, he sits on the Committee of Foreign Affairs, Employment and Social Affairs, and Internal Market and Consumer Protection. He's known for his views on immigration, EU policies, foreign affairs, and criticism of certain past government measures. Thank you so much for joining us today, Mr. Beistrin.
Thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure always to be here.
Well, the pleasure is mine, and I have to say I'm very concerned about the way things are going in Europe as a whole, but Germany in particular. How do you see the current trajectory that Europe is on? What are your biggest concerns right now?
Well, you are not the only one who is really concerned about the situation in Europe, and and every corner is burning. You know, we have politicians who are pushing us into war against Russia, which is really insane. We have infrastructure which is not working. We've got millions of migrants from Far East who are not compatible with our economy, society, and so on and so on. Just look at the latest happenings in Berlin. You know, this is incredible. This is a capital of Germany, and it was not able to repair the electricity for several days after an attack of the Antifa.
Yeah, and I have the story here. I've only mentioned it on my show, so I'd like to get into the details of it. Berlin blackout horror, deadly Antifa terrorism plunges frigid German capital into darkness for days. That's the headline at Infowars.com. So, yeah, when you talk about the infrastructure of Germany, I mean, it's being destroyed in every possible way, right? I mean, the regulations are destroying the infrastructure. Antifa is blowing up the infrastructure, and apparently the skills are missing to repair it in a rapid way. I mean, this was a crazy story, and yet it's been treated by the
I read the article on InfoWars, and I have to say compliments. It's an excellent article. It shows how really incredible the situation in Berlin is. Just imagine, there was a sabotage attack done by the Antifa, and 100,000 people were withheld power, electricity for days, not for hours, but for 4 or 5 days. Yeah, there is at least one dead, maybe two. The reports are now in the stage of to be confirmed, but this is confirmed that the one person died because of cold, you know. At the same time, you know, the asylum seekers were evacuated by the authorities, but the regular citizens, they were told, oh, you can go to a hotel. We negotiated a special rate for you. You pay just $70 a night, you know. Right. This is incredible.
It is. It absolutely is. Quoting from the article, citizens were casually told they could rent hotel rooms for 70 euros per night. At the same time, asylum seekers were evacuated from their housing within the first hours. Ordinary citizens received no assistance. No officials went door to door to inform residents, let alone provide food or hot soup. Only police patrols monitored neighborhoods and made loudspeaker announcements. And then this group, the Vulcan Group, took credit for the attack, basically said, yeah, we killed somebody. That was us. What's been the response from the German government? Anything?
Yeah. And before I come to this, I have to say one more thing. You know, there was for days, there was no electricity. And the first days, even the mobile phones did not work. Right. So the people, they had no access to the internet. They had no phones, no heating. And what did the stupid local government? They informed the people via internet.
Right.
You know, this is really insane how incompetent they are. And you say it, Antifa group called Volcano Group claimed responsible for this attack. And what is really astonishing, this group committed more than 10, 11 separate arson or sabotage attacks within the last 14 years.
Wow.
Which clearly shows that the Antifa has a strong support within the Berlin government, within the Socialist Party, which is ruling there, you know. There are no really no serious nationwide manhunts or home searching, emergency alerts, nothing like this, you know, that they're letting them do for more than 10 years. Just imagine 11 attacks like this.
Meanwhile, the German intelligence says the AfD party is our domestic terrorists, or, you know, whatever the phrase they have to label the AfD party as criminals. So you guys are surveilled and restricted. Meanwhile, Antifa, and actually in this article written by Dan Lyman, he links a video he did in 2020 with you showing him through Berlin, showing him that Antifa ran entire neighborhoods in the capital city. I mean, this problem is baked in at this point, isn't it?
That was a great work by Dan Lyman at the time when he was a correspondent, European correspondent. He went with me directly to the headquarters of the Antifa. He was filming it. It's worth to see it because you see the scam, and we know that it will take just minutes and they will come. So we just dip in, filmed, and went out. You know, this is tremendously dangerous. Because again, the structures in Berlin are really huge. They are funded by the government. They are receiving millions of euro, millions of US dollar. And there are several NGOs, everything funded by taxpayers' money. And the worst thing was when we have been with Dan at the occupied area, there were houses, complete houses occupied by Antifa for decades, you know, and we have been there when several thousand policemen were trying to kick them out. They kicked them out after 2 days, and Dan was filming everything, so it's worth watching it.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, it's not actually that surprising that the government doesn't stop them because they're sort of doing everything the government wants to do, right? They're predicating these attacks on stopping climate change and reducing CO2 emissions. And it's like, well, if a factory shut down because a regulation shuts it down, or it's shut down because it's firebombed, at the end of the day, they're sort of pursuing the same ends, huh?
Absolutely. And you mentioned the German domestic intelligence service, the Secret Service. And the former head of the Secret Service, Dr. Maaßen, he was criticizing, even in charge, when he was in charge, he was heavily criticizing the politics because of the collaboration with the Antifa. He said the Socialist Party considers Antifa as a sort of party internal terror group used to defeat the competition or the opposition. And he also said, you know, the left-wing forces, they handle them with velvet gloves.
Yep.
And, and this is exactly what is happening. On one side, the secret services are misused to oppress a legitimate democratic opposition like the AfD, to blame this party, you know, right-wing and so on, which it is not, in fact, you know, but they are really manhunts and home searchings by ordinary people for posting something on Facebook or on TikTok in favor of the opposition. or criticizing the government. Just one example, you know, next day, tomorrow, there will be a trial in Bavaria against the editor-in-chief of a magazine who was publishing a meme, a really satirical meme, with the picture of the interior minister with a piece of paper in her hand saying, right, I hate the freedom of speech. And he got 7 months jail for this. So this is what the authorities are doing. And at the other hand, they are not prosecuting terrorist groups like Antifa, who are publicly claiming having done an attack on infrastructure of the capital city of Germany. They blowing up electricity works. Hundreds, thousands of people have no heating, no light, no electricity for days. And the police is doing nothing against them. This is incredible.
And the way it's reported in the foreign papers, I think the BBC headline was something like, Antifa flicks off the light switch for parts of Berlin. Like, they were treating it like, oh, you know, they say they sort of just turned the lights off for a little while. I mean, they're so downplaying it. So obviously, this is a multifaceted operation, right? You've got the media downplaying it. You've got the politicians writing laws against it. You've got Antifa as the enforcement arm. I mean, this is brutal. How do you get out of this? I mean, how do you find a solution to this if you can't even discuss solutions to this? I mean, how do you deal with this situation?
Well, we may not discuss it, but we did. I proposed a total ban of Antifa as a terrorist organization at the party convention of the AfD in Bavaria. And this proposal passed with nearly 99%. So the whole AfD Bavaria stands behind it. It was, you know, we were inspired by Donald Trump in the United States. It was very close after my visit in Washington. I said, guys, so let's do it the same way like Trump in the U.S. Just kick their asses and let them forbid the Antifa as a terrorist organization. So we did. And this is just a question of time when we get to power. And the moment we are in the government, those guys will be very soon in prison.
Wouldn't that be nice? The terrorist going to prison. What a novel idea you have there, sir. I mean, it is.
Well, instead of ordinary citizens who posted something on Facebook, we will put the real criminals, the real terrorists in prison. What the deal, huh?
That's clearly you're an extremist. I mean, these are extremist ideas you're putting I mean, it's so insane. We played the video in the last segment where Ursula von der Leyen is up there going, in Russia, you get arrested for protesting while a protester is being arrested right in front of her. It's this type of stuff that, like, it is truly insane. It is completely nonsensical. I don't even know what how we get back from this. Obviously, you know, getting people like yourself into power would be a fantastic way to set things right. But they are doing everything they can to stop that from happening. Is it the parliamentary system that's so easily manipulatable? Because we've noticed that whether it's Germany or France or the UK, a lot of times the right wing really wins the election, but then the left wing and the center right form coalitions to keep them out. Same thing happens in Germany, right? How do you get past those types of roadblocks in parliament?
Yes, unfortunately, this is the meme for which the editor-in-chief David Bendels got 7 months prison. Yeah, this is the former interior minister, amazing, Nancy Faeser, saying, I hate the expression, the free speech,
yep.
Which is, by the way, this is the
so
truth.
Ironic.
No, she really hates it. She was personally asking to charge him, so it was on personal written request of the interior minister that the police started the investigation.
So it's not even wrong. The meme wasn't even inaccurate. It was an accurate expression of what
absolutely.
She believes. It's crazy.
Absolutely. Maybe this is the reason why he was prosecuted. Yeah. But really, in 2 days in the morning, Wednesday in the morning, there will be the trial. So watch it. You are totally invited to report about this. Even the mainstream media said this is incredible. This is really crazy what is happening in Germany and in Europe. And you mentioned the democratic system, the violation of the democratic system. Yes, indeed, we have a heavy problem because of the erosion of democracy in Europe, in Germany as well. we have a framework which is quite good. The constitution is good, but it was tunneled from inside. You know, the parties who are on power, they're misusing institutions like police, justice, the whole justice system. They took under control the most mainstream media. So it's really a huge problem. And it's not about just about left against right. I would say now it's about the globalist parties against the populists. And just let me explain in one sentence the term populist. A populist comes from populus, from a Latin word, which means the people. Mm. And we have few movements or parties which are really doing what the people wants. They are the true populists. And this is Donald Trump in the US. He won the election because he is true politician who is for the people. And then we have all the other parties, and they are not just left, center, whatever. You know, they don't care what they have been representing before. They just sticking to power, and they are promising the people before the election what they know that the people want to hear.
Right.
And after the election, they are doing completely the opposite, you know, like the Greens in Germany. They promised they were anti-war before the election. And immediately after the election, they started to support the war in the Ukraine, and they asked for more weapons and so on and so on.
Yeah. And man, there's so many aspects of this that I want to delve into you with because the Ukraine war, I mean, it's just another layer of insanity that Europe is destroying itself. And then as, you know, the people of Europe are struggling financially and just with everything, they want to send them to go die in some frozen field in Russia. I mean, it is truly the most like wicked thing I've ever seen.
But ask yourself, for what? Guess, look, there are polls done by Gallup, by American agency Gallup, and they saying 70% of the Ukrainians want to stop the war, and they are saying even if the Russians keep what they conquered, you know, they say, oh, come on, this is Eastern Ukraine. It's used to be a Russian all the time. They should keep it. The Ukrainians, they just want to stop the war. And second, there are more than 360,000 young Ukrainian men who could fight just in Germany, France, and Czech Republic, just in those three countries. There are more than the Ukraine has under armor now, you know. And they all escaped. They fled the country. They don't want to fight the war. There are many millions of Ukrainians who emigrated in both directions. People are not talking about this, but there are several millions of Ukrainians. They fled to Russia. They are living in Russia. Right. Nobody is doing them anything. They are not harmed. They're living in Russia. They fled, you know, because they don't want to be involved in this war. Nobody wants to die in the war. The Germans, they don't want the war. You know, nobody wants to go fighting, but the government is still pushing and pushing and pushing. So the question is, why? For whom?
Well, and there's a lot of people that stand to benefit from it, but it's sort of it's the same thing, whether it's Brexit or immigration. It's like, none of these things have been voted on. If they have, then the people voted against it. People voted to, you know, do Brexit. It just sort of hasn't happened yet. If immigration is ever put to a vote, it loses, but you always get it. The Ukraine war, totally unpopular. It's still happening. And the irony of all of it is that the war itself is predicated on the protection of democracy. I mean, it is just insanity across the board here, Peter. I just keep asking, like, what do we do? How do we get out of this? Is it about waking people up? It is about just getting, you know, seizing those means of communication so we can get the truth out? Because as you point out, and like, free speech is not about memes. Memes are fun. Memes are fine. You know, free speech, part of it is you're allowed to hate or insult people. But really, it's about censoring the truth, right? It's about stopping people from saying reality. In Germany, I know, they are charging people just for filming the street and showing how many immigrants there are. Just filming reality can get you on hate speech list now. So isn't that really what all the hate speech and all these speech restrictions are about? Is really just limiting the people's ability to know the effects of the policies that are being inflicted on them?
Of course. It's just this is simple censorship. It's just called with a different name. And we had a discussion in the European Parliament last time, in the last session, you know, and there was a guy from Romania, and he was pushing for this law, which is going to be a real censorship in Europe. And I asked him, like, you remember you grew up in Romania, so you remember the communist system? And I grew in communism as well. I'm born in Czechoslovakia. You mentioned it in the beginning. And I said, look, I can remember that the communists, they were censoring like Voice of America, Radio Free Europe, and all the Western media. They were censoring it. They were disturbing the signal. But the Westerners, they didn't. Mm. You could freely watch in Germany the Czech television, the German socialist television. Nobody was disturbing it because they know it's stupid. You know, it's socialist propaganda. Nobody
right.
cares.
Right.
But the socialists, they were afraid of the truth. So they'd censor it. And now I said, look, what is the European Union doing now? It's censoring a Russian TV. Sorry, Russia Today is censored in whole Europe.
Yep.
And I said, what are you afraid of? And do you think it's right that the European Union now is behaving like the communists in the former time? They are censoring.
Right.
He had no answer on it.
Well, how could you? I mean, it's pretty obvious. If you don't want people talking about what you're doing, it's because you're doing something bad. And if you're trying to, you know, censor true information. But that's the thing, isn't it? That's one of the other reasons they want the war. That's why they want to, you know, be fully involved in the war in Ukraine, because then you're not just censoring for hate speech, you're stopping enemy propaganda, right? And therefore, if you are now spreading information they don't want you to spread, it's not just that they, you know, are offended, it's that you're acting with the enemy now. So really, everything happening that's bad in Germany and Europe will only accelerate if they really kick off a full-fledged direct war with Russia.
Unfortunately, this is already happening since 2 or 3 years. Everybody who was arguing against the war in Russia, against the German involvement in this war, was claimed a Russian spy and Russian propagandist and Putin's agent. It happened even to me. You know, I've got 27 home searchings already and investigations. Which claimed that I was bribed by Putin, and they found nothing. After 2 years, nearly 2 years, and 27 home searching, they found nothing, no money, no contract, no proof for this nonsense, of course, you know. But they are still oppressing the people. They are blackmailing the people. It's really terrible. So we have circles which are really in war with Russia. This is the military complex. This is the whole NATO, the secret services. They see themselves in war with Russia. They are, in fact, they are in a war with Russia.
Yeah.
This is not legitimate by any parliament, by nobody. This has no democratic legitimation, but they are behaving this way. And again, they are misusing the juristical system, the courts, the prosecutors for the oppression of the opposition.
Yep, any power they get, they turn to their own ends, regardless of the legitimacy. The story's on InfoWars. Meet the European official who's been raided 23 times by German police. This must be an old article. You've been raided 4 more times since the article was written, because you say now that the count is at 27. Peter Beistern is my guest. He's a member of the European Parliament. We'll be back on the other side after this short commercial break. Don't go anywhere.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish CMOS was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning.
Hmm.
All that stopped with the CMOS because it's a thyroid issue, and the CMOS has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. that I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, that has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good, right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on like my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's like, amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in and go, oh, this person, you're paying them. But like, no, but our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to like the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where like as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to. And I'm not a doctor. It's not a medical claim. But people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is. But it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. No, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
In the southern part of Texas, in the town of San Antonio, is a fortress all in ruins that the weeds have overgrown. You may look in vain for crosses and you'll never see.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room, Infowars.com, band.video. I hope you can support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com. We have a brand new version of the trench knife available there, thealexjonesstore.com. I'm not going to show it to you yet because we have a member of European Parliament, and I don't know if looking at an image of a knife will get you arrested in Europe, so we're not going to show it. I'm kidding, of course, but I am very happy to be welcoming my guest, Peter Bystron. He can be followed on X at Peter Bystron AFD. That's PeterBystronAFD on X. He is a member of the European Parliament for Germany's Alternative for Germany. And let me just ask you, sir, during the break, I was just scrolling through Twitter, see if anything was breaking, and it looks like war with Iran may very much be on the table. The U.S. Embassy of Iran is telling American citizens to leave the country now. Donald Trump just put out a Truth Social saying effective immediately, any country doing business with the Islamic Republic of Iran will pay a tariff of 25%. Basically, every signal is looking like U.S. State Department issues security alert for Iran, urging Americans, if safe, to consider leaving by land via Armenia or Turkey. So again, a lot of signals being sent that some sort of major showdown with Iran is right around the corner, could be within hours. Mr. Bystron, do you have any comment on this, or what do you think about the heightening of temperatures in the Middle East these days?
Well, sure. You're absolutely right. I think the situation in Iran is really critical. We have thousands and thousands of protesters against the mullah regime. So the free society doesn't want to be oppressed by this regime. This is quite obvious. This is not the first time. The Iranians, they tried uprising already several times within the last years. The regime always pushed them down, they oppressed them. And I was a foreign policy speaker of my party, so I had contact to both sides, to the opposition's leader. I was even quoting the free Iranian people in my Bundestag speeches, and I addressed the members of the German parliament by what the Iranian wanted in order to help them. But we had also contact with the Iranian officials, and they were always very self-confident, and they were confident that they can oppress the uprisers. Now, I think they are very, very nervous. Their reactions are very aggressive. They are shooting people to death. They are now switching off Starlink. They are trying to oppress any oppositional communication. They are forbidding even the doctors in the hospitals to give medical care to those people who are shot. So if you are delivered to the hospital with a wound that had been shot in the demonstration, the doctors are refusing to help you. They should report you to the police. You know, it's really a very inhuman, very hard. What happened, what changed against the previous uprisals is the change on the geopolitical scale. Mm-hmm. I think this is a result of the negotiations between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin in Alaska. And because they divided the zones of influence, and we can see that Russia is not backing Iran anymore.
Right.
And we saw also the overture for this. This was Venezuela. Trump cleaned up Maduro with a very, very effective strike. And the second now is Iran. And that's the deal, you know. Russia was given the zone of influence in the Ukraine, and now the U.S. Cleaned up in America, and I think they will support the people of Iran to get a free, a democratic government.
Interesting. So you think that the negotiations with Putin and Trump have led to this, because there's been some sort of agreement that Russia will withdraw its support of the Iranian regime and allow it to be maybe overthrown and fully brought into the zone of influence. I had not heard that theory before. That's very interesting. Can you expand on that a little bit?
It's not official, but I'm a political scientist, and I wrote a piece about this just 2 weeks before Venezuela, and it was published in the biggest Czech newspaper. And I said, look, if that was a part of the deal, the days of Maduro are over. And 2 weeks later, he was in New York in handcuffs. It's secret. It was never published somewhere, but I think it's very logical. If you divide the world in the zone of influence, it would be a logical step, and it explains also why the Russians are not interfering in a way. Of course, you can say they are involved in Ukraine so heavily they don't have the capacity. That would be the second explanation. This is also possible.
And I was wondering about that, too, if maybe the Ukraine war was being prolonged to keep Russia tied down so that they couldn't, you know, send resources to help Iran, that all these things are really tied in, you know, pretty firmly together.
Sure. This is, of course, possible. The war in the Ukraine is, a heavy burden for the whole Russian economy. They are now doing better than everybody expected, but still it costs a lot. This is a lot of effort, a lot of money, and maybe Russia doesn't want, and maybe they even cannot expand further. That's possible.
Mm. Well, it's it is interesting. We'll keep an eye on any developments because certainly all the signals are pointing to imminent action by Iran, Israel, or America. So everybody's wondering who's gonna draw first on that. But a lot of that, what we're talking about, is speculation, and I do think that's interesting that perhaps there's some soft agreement between Trump and Putin that Putin wouldn't really get involved in Iran. That makes a lot of sense, honestly. But let's talk about things that are happening to Europe and to Germany of their own volition, like the things they're doing to themselves. Zero Hedge has this story today. Mercedes relocates production to Hungary. 20,000 Germans set to lose their jobs. Just the latest, you know, long-standing German brand to basically have to flee the country. And, I mean, there's been a lot of this. I imagine down the line from the energy restrictions and the blowing up the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. I mean, what is Germany doing to itself, sir? That's what I want to ask, because it seems like you cannot mess up this badly. This is not incompetence. This is deliberate sabotage. Why are they doing it? I'm glad you're laughing. I don't mean to insult Germany, but it's crazy.
Yeah, but the Germans didn't blow up our own pipeline. I think true. The official version is that there were some Ukrainian partisans.
Yep.
But everybody knows that it was done by heavy help of the United States. So it was in the interest of the United States that Russia can sell the gas cheap directly to Europe. This is no secret, you know, even the former ambassador, the American ambassador to Denmark, said it was her most important task to somehow avoid that this pipeline goes online, you know, that it, right. it works. So we don't need to discuss about this, but
it's all part of the same trend, right?
What's more important are two other things. First, that the German government just turned down all the nuclear power plants in the country. So they switched off six modern new nuclear power plants in a time when several hundred power plants are running around the world. China, the United States, everybody is building new because we will need it, desperately need it, not only for our industry, but also for the new, you know, like, artificial intelligence needs so much energy. Even Microsoft Bill Gates is buying his own nuclear power plant because he knows that he will need it for Microsoft. And the Germans, they destroyed six nuclear power plants and rise, of course, the prices of energy. They were rocketing high. And in addition to that, the European Union exposed sanctions, completely stupid sanctions against Russia. And this way, we've got energy prices. They are double or triple the higher than in the United States or in the world. And this is absolutely destroying German industry.
It absolutely is. And as this article is actually quotes AfD politician Kristen Abel, Mercedes-Benz is stalled for German engineering excellence and Germany's economic upswing for decades. Yet, like so many other automakers, the company is cutting jobs in Germany and expanding to other countries. As a result, the entire production of the A-Class is being relocated to Hungary. 20,000 employees are expected to lose their jobs as a result. And of course, if you're doing all of this on the basis of climate change anyway, the end result of this is you're empowering places like China that have no controls and are building a power plant a week, a coal power plant a week there. So it's just, it's nonsense on every level. And it just seems like the German people are just being screwed over relentlessly from every, you know, aspect of the government. And it's really brutal. But people are waking up to this, right? AfD, the ultimate irony, gets declared domestic terrorists and told that they're, you know, aren't going to be allowed to be a party because they're so popular, because they're rising in the ranks, because the polls show that they're the most popular party. Now the government is coming in to shut it down. A complete betrayal of democracy. Is that affecting the rise of AfD? Is that being a problem for y'all, or are people still finding you and voting for you because they realize how bad it is? I mean, is the awakening in Europe effectively, you know, changing the political landscape?
Yeah, firstly, we are now the strongest party in Germany. For weeks in the polls, we are already the strongest party in Germany. We are the number one we're going to win all the elections, upcoming elections in the next year. But of course, it's harming us. This is the reason why they are doing it. You know, we have now 27%, but I think what we are representing, this is what the huge majority of the people are thinking. So we would have more than 50-60%.
Right.
If there was not this blackmailing wasn't there, these prosecutions were not there. You know, people just scared. They're really afraid even to say something in our favor. So this is really heavy, really heavy. And it's hurting us. And what helped us a lot is the support of the Donald Trump administration. So this values really a lot. I would like to say thank you to all those brave Americans who were fighting for us, who said publicly something. The last one was the health minister, Bobby Kennedy Jr. This is excellent work, and this is helping us to get our strength. Now, it's opening the eyes of the people. They see, wow, they have a support from the United States. Obviously, they are not fascists. They are not
right-wing
extremists. You know, it's a Democratic Party, not Democrats. And this is going in the right direction.
Well, I do, you know, we have our complaints about the Trump administration ourselves over here. But the speech from J.D. Vance, I think, has been one of the most, you know, groundbreaking things the Trump administration did. It was early on last year, but J.D. Vance going and saying, what are you fighting for? Pointing out the hypocrisy of claiming to fight for democracy while you're not a democracy. I mean, I thought that was amazing. And I love what Trump is doing to try to bring or retain free speech there in Europe. But there's a problem, isn't it, that people still trust the system. You know, you're talking about back in the day when the Iron Curtain was down, the Soviet, you know, they let the propaganda come over because nobody trusted it, right? And it's like, okay, if the Soviets are calling something bad, it's probably good. But people still have a trust in the German media landscape. So I guess when – or you know, political landscape. So when they're told AFD are dangerous, you know, extremist, they're going to believe that because they haven't quite accepted the fact that we are in a Soviet level media landscape right now, where it should be assumed that when the government or the media doesn't like something, it's because they're actually good and fighting for you. But that, I mean, how are people still falling for these lies when you know, their own eyes betray them? How do you go walk around downtown Frankfurt? You're surrounded by non-Germans. You're surrounded by foreigners speaking foreign languages. But it never clicks to them that this is like a deliberate plan. I mean, how do you get to the point where people can recognize that the media is lying to them? Is that possible?
Yes, of course it is. And there are two different groups in Germany. There are the population, there is the population in Eastern Germany, which experience such lies, such propaganda in public media during the communist system. And they remember it very well. And this is the reason why the AFD is so strong in the states formerly being
right.
The German Democratic Republic. You know, we have over 40% in some. We are 36-40%. We are really the number one there. We will win the elections there. And they have the other part in the Western Germany who grow up in democracy and believing that the television is saying the truth, which was. And former time, it was like this, and they can't believe that the system turned into something really bad. And
right.
This is mostly the old generation. It's those people, 60 plus, they are still watching the old TV. They believing it. And we have, but there is hope. There are more and more people, especially young people, who already are watching, you know, independent free media, who are getting their informations through the internet, and they are more and more waking up. You know, we are the strongest party also within the young target group, within the first voters who are 18 years old. They're going the first time to the elections, so they are voting for the AFD. So this is the hope for the future. The young people are not believing the mainstream media, and the old people they dying away. So it will be there is also a biological solution for the problem.
Yeah, well, it's funny because what you're saying is absolutely true, and it's the reason that they're trying to censor social media, right? Because young people are getting their news there, they're getting around the mainstream media.
Exactly. This is all the reason for the oppression. You mentioned it already. It's they have no arguments against us. They know that we are saying the truth. We have the facts on our side. And so they cannot argue against us. You know, at the beginning, they always said, come on, we should let the populace invite them to discussions and then we will destroy them because they are just saying some populist phrases and we have the facts. But they stopped it very, very fast because they were losing in any discussions. So they turn around and they are now trying just to forbid us. You know, they fearing any discussions. They are they avoiding any competition. You know, they just trying to blackmail. No, not trying. They are blackmailing us and are trying to forbid us because this is the only way for them how to avoid they losing the elections against us.
Yeah, 100%. The story, ReclaimTheNet.org from yesterday. German premier calls out social media censorship, calls for social media censorship, sparks outcry. This was the CDU prime minister of Schleswig-Holstein, pardon my pronunciation, publicly urged tighter state regulation of media outlets and social networks, declaring that some platforms are opponents and enemies of democracy. They love invoking that word, no matter how inaccurate their usage is. And they're predicating this on protecting democracy. They also mentioned, you know, protecting minors from disinformation and sexual assault. In the UK, it was, we have to stop minors from learning about how to commit suicide. In, Australia, it's anti-Semitism. They have all these different excuses, right? But really, it's all about, as you pointed out, stopping the political opposition from these things being imposed. Again, do you think any of these things are valid? Like, what do you think about the excuses that they use? Like saying, oh, we have to stop minors from, seeing sexual material. Obviously, that's not the real reason, right?
So, yeah.
I agree. Mean,
the communists were also claiming, they were saying, oh, we are protecting the democracy. And what democracy? Why do you need censorship? We have free speech. Everybody may say everything he wants to. There are already existing laws. If you are offending somebody and so on, so we have really good laws. But you don't need additional laws forbidding people to say something. You know, and you did a good example because they saying that for protection of minors. That they pushing for a law which is called Digital Services Act in the whole European Union. And this Digital Services Act would enable the government to read everything you have on your mobile phone.
Yep.
To read everything you write on your mobile phone or your pictures, your videos, really everything. And it doesn't mean when you send it to somebody via WhatsApp or Telegram or something. No, before. So yeah. They would be scanning the whole private phones, even not the communication between the people, but what you have in your phone.
Right.
And they are saying, yeah, this is because of the protection of the minors. We are fighting the pornography and so on and so on. So this is a complete lie.
In a way, it's almost just a different... spot on the spectrum towards Iran. I mean, they're not, you know, Europe's not at the point that they're, you know, blasting Starlink satellites out of space yet, but, you know, obviously it's incrementalism and you're getting to the point that you can look at Iran and be enraged at all the, you know, censorship and oppression that goes on there, but Europe is well on its way. I mean, it's headed down that track. I have a couple stories specifically in the UK. They seem to be leading the charge on a lot of this, but UK orders Ofcom to enforce encryption backdoors. This is what you're talking about, how even things that are encrypted, they actually have to get access to it before it's encrypted. So they'll have backdoors basically on every device that's used. UK expands Online Safety Act to mandate preemptive scanning of digital communications. That's what you're talking about, preemptive scanning. A major expansion of the UK's Online Safety Act, which is just a national version of the DSA, which is applied across the whole continent, has taken effect, legally obliging digital platforms to deploy surveillance-style systems that scan, detect, and block user content before it can be seen. I mean, that is Orwellian, sir.
And just look at the statistics about legal charges against citizens who publish something on the internet. Yeah. Number one, worldwide, UK.
Yep.
United Kingdom. Number two, Belarus. Number three, Germany.
Wow.
So we have two self-called democracies on number one and number three worldwide in putting people in jail for having posted something on social media. It says everything. China is following. It's afterwards, you know. All right. Those states like Iran, China, and so on, they are behind United Kingdom and Germany.
And that's not even taking population into account, right? That's just raw numbers. The UK still, you know, outdoes Russia or Iran with number of people in its jails. And then you realize that their population is significantly less than those other countries. It is absolutely out of control. But, you know, thank God there's people like yourself still there standing up for these really fundamentally European values, right? I mean, free speech came from Europe. These ideas came from Europe. To see them dying there is just brutal. Anything else you want to let our audience know? Again, my guest is Peter Bystren. You can follow him on X at P-E-T-R Bystren A-F-D. That's P-E-T-R Bystren A-F-D. Final thoughts, sir, for our American audience. We thank you for coming on. This has been fantastic.
Thank you very much. It's always a pleasure. And thank you for your work. It's really valuable. This is important. You are the voice of America of nowadays. And thank you to War Room, the whole team, and everybody who is watching it. God bless you.
Well, thank you very much. God bless you as well. And, you know, as bad as things are here in America, it is absolutely that much worse in Europe. And I feel like we have an obligation as the last sort of standing bastion of free speech. We have to export this to America, to Europe. We have to actually go back to what the Statue of Liberty originally meant, which wasn't welcome people in. It was shining the light of liberty out. That's what we want to do. We want to shine that light of liberty across the Atlantic into Europe. Our cousins over there being absolutely brutalized by the dictatorships masquerading as a democracy. Thanks so much for joining us, Peter Bystren. We'll be back on the other side. Rex Jones is joining us. Stay tuned, folks. Go to thealexjonesstore.com to support us. All the great guests, all of the work that we do. We really are pursuing 1776 worldwide. Wake up now. This is your last chance, folks. More on the other side. Stay with us. Don't go anywhere. Thealexjonesstore.com is how you support us.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't know, and I'm going over there. You finance it. You paid for it. Your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at InfoWarsStore.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air, can I do that? I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Three posters I designed, two I designed, Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King, Make No Peace with Evil, same Crusader King, and then do like that still image of me, and it is the bestseller. It's I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy in a tube, or you get them for $100. You're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens before they're hatched. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching at you, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you'll be the ones that shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like in Star Trek, Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.
If receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.